You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Alzheimer's disease is the most common age-dependent neurodegenerative disease and is characterized by the presence of two types of proteins in the brain called beta-amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary tangles called tau proteins. There are progressive losses of neuronal synapses, the communication junctions between brain cells, as well as severe cognitive dysfunction such as difficulty thinking and understanding, memory loss, disorientation, and mental confusion. Alzheimer's disease is the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S. according to Alzheimer's.net. But what I saw on the same website in the next sentence struck me by surprise. It stated that Alzheimer's is the only disease in the 10 leading cause of death in the United States that cannot be cured, prevented, or slowed. Now, I personally don't believe that statement is true. I know from clinical experience that Alzheimer's disease can be prevented. It can be slowed down in its progression and even reversed. Today on Wellness for Life Radio, we have Dr. Jenny Ann Freeman, the author of The SEEDS Plan. And that SEEDS is S-E-E-D-S plan. And she believes that Alzheimer's can be prevented and reversed as well. She's an active member of the Santa Fe Brain Health Coalition. Inspired by her mother's 10-year struggle with Alzheimer's disease, the SEEDS plan is the culmination of a long-term interest in preserving and maximizing cognition. That's amazing, Dr. Freeman. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome to Wellness for Life Radio.
Thanks. I'm so happy to talk to you and your viewers and try to help everybody improve their brain health.
Absolutely. Now, you... by trade, you're a gynecologist. You studied and you went into the your residency in gynecology, your private practice. What actually got you involved in brain health?
Well, brain health actually occurred as one of those necessity is the mother of invention kind of thing. So I got to, unfortunately, watch my mom have a really painful, long 10-year decline of starting with some mild cognitive impairment all the way out to full-blown Alzheimer's. And I just, after watching that, really felt committed to the idea that I did not want that to happen to me. I'm her genetic legacy, so I have a twice the average chance of getting Alzheimer's myself because my mom had it. And I also have two kids who are my genetic legacy, and I didn't want them to ever have to go there. So I decided that I would put my medical hat on. I have training in how to read and assess scientific literature. And I just decided I'm going to put my medical hat on, and I'm just going to say no to the idea that I am most likely to develop Alzheimer's disease. So that commitment to avoid that problem, which is in my family, is really what inspired me. And luckily, because I do have the medical training, I'm able to read critically. There's a wealth of scientific literature. It's challenging for the average individual to get through because it has so much medicalese in it. But luckily I'm trained in medicalese. So I was up to the challenge.
You know, what I love about your book is that it's actually really easy. You mentioned about all of the science background that's difficult to weave through. What I loved about your book, thank you again for giving me a copy of The SEEDS Plan. What I love about your book is that it's easy for people, the general population to read this. And it's not even just about brain health. It's really about preventing disease, prevention, because the SEEDS stand for that. But I'd like to, before we go deep into and dive into your plan, I'd like to, talk to you a bit about what I was mentioned earlier in the intro. In the Alzheimer's.net, they mentioned that Alzheimer's cannot be prevented or even slowed down and reversed. And I want your take on that.
So I think that's a case where they have not updated their website because the Alzheimer's Association and a number of other both governmental organizations as well as private charitable organizations have actually recognized that Alzheimer's prevention is not only possible, it's actually critically important, because the flip side is that with advanced Alzheimer's disease, there is no treatment. And so there is actually a mandate which has been joined by the Alzheimer's Association, the National Health Service in Britain, and a lot of other organizations around the globe. And there's a mandate to eliminate Alzheimer's by 2025. Now, I think that's a little bit enthusiastic. I'm not really convinced that we can completely eliminate the disease by 2025, but we can reduce the number of people that are afflicted with Alzheimer's significantly. I'll just mention there was a fairly recent Lancet commission. This was an international commission of experts that was set up, and they concluded that one-third of all Alzheimer's cases are relatively easily preventable with lifestyle intervention. So I think that the website that says there is no prevention is simply not updated to the most recent information that we have. I also want to quickly mention, go back to something you said, which is that the SEEDS plan, although I specifically targeted brain health, you are 100% correct in saying that the strategies that are included in that plan actually work for overall health and wellness, because all diseases stem from the same basic factors, which are inflammation and harmful free radicals and dysfunction in the mitochondria. So any program that targets those problems is going to target overall health and wellness. So thanks for pointing that out to your audience. It's important.
Oh, it's very important. You mentioned mitochondrial impairment. I wrote the book Mighty Mito a couple years ago, published it in, and I found that from doing the research, and it actually had to do a lot to do with my own health when I got a terrible brain and head injury eight years ago. And I realized from all the terrible symptoms I had, and one was cognitive dysfunction, I really had to work fast and resuscitate my mitochondria, regrow and improve the health of my mitochondria, giving it the right nutrients. There's a quote in your book I really loved, and you said, frailty in aging is a choice. Healthy aging is the better option. And that's what you're doing with the SEEDS plan. You are giving people the tools that they can use so that we can continuously live our lives healthy. Even if you are chronologically getting older, your biological age does not need to be in disease form or disorder.
Absolutely. It's unfortunately something that we've come to accept. I think we as a society have kind of been taught you get older, you get sick, you go to the doctor treats your problems. And that is one model. It's the one we've all been living by. I don't think it's worked out real well. We have more chronic disease today than ever before. And so the other way of looking at things is, how can I adopt behaviors that make me robust? How can I adopt behaviors that keep me healthy and able to adapt to whatever kind of challenges come along? And that is more of a holistic view of healthcare, which I have to say the chiropractic community has been in the forefront of that. I learned so much from the chiropractic community, because it's not the way the conventional medical community is taught, even to this day. So I think we're on the same page in that we are of a belief that you work to remain healthy rather than you work to manage whatever illnesses have come up.
Thank you, Dr. Freeman, for mentioning the chiropractic profession. I'd say that the majority of the world look at chiropractic as more of the structural and working on the spine and manipulations. But what we're taught in school is really a holistic form of protocols to help with so many different areas, nutrition, exercise, lifestyle, you know, and of course, structural is one big part as well. But we believe that there is an innate intelligence. And that was one of the philosophies of a chiropractic, that if you can give it guidance, if you can give it the right information, that your own cells, the beauty and the magic of every cell knows what to do correctly. And I think that's what the Seeds Plan is about, right? You're giving the tools and information that we all have the power to heal our own body. So let's go right into the Seeds Plan and tell me what Seeds stands for, S-E-E-D-S.
Right. So SEEDS is actually an acronym for the five different pillars of not only general health, but the five different pillars of brain health. And as we discussed before, anything that's good for the brain will be good for the entire body. So the five letters, so the stand for S is for sleep, and then E is for eating. The next E is for exercise. The D is for domain, which is my word for the environment. And finally, the final S is for social engagement. And those are really the five wellness pillars that have to all be integrated together to make a healthy whole. I actually have an analogy in the book that I'd love to share with your audience. When people are thinking about they'd like to adopt the Seeds Plan, and maybe I'm really good with my diet, but maybe I'm not so really good with my exercise. And I want to point out an analogy of a houseplant. And if you think about a houseplant, in order to thrive, the houseplant needs water and fertilizer and space to grow its roots and light. And if you put a plant inside of a closet, a dark closet, there is no amount of water you can give that plant to make it thrive. It actually needs everything. It needs the holistic input of all of the different factors for it to really thrive. And that's kind of the point with the Seeds Plan, is that you want to adopt some aspects of each of the five pillars in order to truly maximize your wellness.
That totally makes sense to me, because, you know, what I believe is you got to go back to the basics, the foundation. If you're going to build a beautiful castle, you need to get all that foundation corrected. Otherwise, it's going to crumble. Right. So let's go into those five pillars. Yes, we don't have a lot of time, but I really want you to just give your favorite tools, a favorite little tips that you can give in each pillar, each of the Seeds Plan. Let's start with the yes. Sleep. I mean, this is my favorite topic, you know, because I'm telling you, when I had that head injury, the first thing that happened to me, I went from a deep 8 hours, 9 hours even sleeper to like waking up 4 to 5 times a night. So let's talk about sleep and how important it is for your brain and your body.
Right. So people tend to believe that when you go to sleep, your brain is offline. And that, in other words, that it's basically at rest as you are at rest. And in fact, that is not true. When we sleep, the brain is conducting some housekeeping, and it's actually cleaning out the toxins that form from, you know, normal cellular function all day long will create toxins. Kind of like when you exercise, you sweat, you need to get rid of the sweat, so you take a shower. Similarly, with the brain, when you go to sleep, it's actually conducting housekeeping. So if you don't sleep long enough and you don't sleep well with good quality sleep, you are actually not conducting a critical aspect of brain health, which is kind of the rejuvenation that occurs by getting rid of the toxins that accumulate during the day. So sleep is critically important. And the book tends to be, my object with the book was to make it very practical. I wanted to offer things in the program that everyone could find something they could use. So I don't expect everyone to do everything, but I hope that people will pick a few things in each of the five pillars and try to use that to, you know, to start getting their health going. So for a practical tip for sleep, and this one is really pretty easy, you've got to get all of the blue light electronics out of your bedroom. They completely disrupt sleep, that blue light electronics would be your computer, your tablet, your cell phone. If you have a clock radio with digital blue light that is displaying the time, anything with blue light is going to disrupt your ability to fall and stay asleep. It actually affects your hormones. So that would be a quick tip for your listeners. One quick tip, very easy to do. Keep your electronics out of the bedroom. Use the bedroom for sleep, sex, basics, but not for your blue light electronics.
Well, Dr. Freeman, I actually turn off my circuit breaker in my house for my bedroom because I just took it to another notch, I know, but I know that my body craves absolutely no electricity around my bed, my room. So that's what I do. But there's also these blue light blocker glasses. Have you ever tried them?
I've read about them, and I have not tried them. I actually kind of in the past have been extremely addicted to my electronics, if I might be honest. And so it was a very big challenge for me to get all of that out of my bedroom. And I kind of wanted the challenge. I didn't want to find a way around it. I wanted to have a pure, clean response to the idea that you really should not have this stuff in your bedroom.
I totally agree, too.
Not a good place to watch, you know. That includes television. It's not a good idea to be watching TV in bed.
Yes.
So I'll add that into the electronics that don't belong in your bedroom.
Yes. The reason why I love blue light blockers is I actually put them on as soon as the sun goes down, and it really prepares my brain. It prepares my brain to start producing melatonin, and it works. Most of my patients that I've recommended for them to use, and they don't cost much. They're like $30. You can find them on Amazon, you know? Yes, and as long as they're amber color. You don't want the yellow color. You want the amber color, the deep, dark, orangey colored. And what it will do is your eyes start to get heavier. You really do feel your brain starts to slow down and gets in that mode of wanting to go to sleep. It's really cool.
Wow, that's a great suggestion, I have to say.
Try that. So, you know what? Let's go to the next one. E is for eating.
Right. So there are three general areas with eating. Of course, you want the quality of your food to be of the highest quality. So if possible, of course, organic food. And if that's not fully possible, then, you know, the idea would be to at least eat organic for the foods that are most contaminated by pesticides, which would be produce. So that's one important area. In terms, there are two other areas. One of the other two is how is your food cooked? If you're burning and browning your food, that is, you're ingesting chemicals. They're called advanced glycation end products, and they are highly, highly damaging to your brain as well as to the rest of your health and wellness. So, in terms of how to cook food, low and slow kind of is the recommended type of cooking for food. And then the third part of eating, which is one of my absolute favorite parts, and this is the practical tip I'd like to give your audience on eating for today, is if you can do some intermittent fasting, if you can create a window of time during which you do not eat or drink any caloric food, that is very, very brain healthy. It actually forces your system to metabolize fat instead of glucose so that you're producing ketones, which burning fat is something that your brain does really well. The brain is actually always capable of burning fat. Sometimes it runs out of the ability to burn sugar. So giving your body a period of time every day where you are actually burning fat for fuel is truly healthy. So my recommendation to your audience is that they try to start by doing a 12-12 intermittent fasting plan. That means a 12-hour window during which you can eat, and I hope everybody will be eating pretty healthy. And a 12-hour window during which you do not eat any caloric food. You can have black coffee, tea, water. An easy way to do that is to finish dinner at 7 or 8 o'clock at night and not have breakfast until 7 or 8 o'clock the next morning. And that's your 12 hours right there. Really easy to do.
Oh, that's great. I love intermittent fasting as well. And I find that that is one of the ways to help also with blood sugar imbalances. I'm talking about insulin sensitivity issues. And
absolutely.
Yes. And then, of course, the one thing that I wanted to share with intermittent fasting to our audience is that too long of a period, if it goes beyond 15, 16 hours, often can trigger gallbladder disease and bile sludge. So that's something that you want to look out for as well.
Right. And, you know, there's something that I discuss over and over again in the book, and I call it the Goldilocks effect. So that too little and too much of many things is not good. And finding the just right amount is often ideal. And so what you were saying with don't overdo, you know, the intermittent fasting, that would be the Goldilocks effect. Too much is not good either. Personally, I tend to do a 15-hour fast every day. So I started out with a 12-12 program, and then I found that it wasn't a big deal for me to skip breakfast. I do have a lot of black coffee every morning while I'm fasting, but I basically skip breakfast now, so I end up doing a 15-hour fast.
Got it.
No interest in going any further. As you said, too much is not really desirable either.
Great. Thank you. Dr. Freeman, what I loved also that you added into your book were supplements. I'm a big believer in supplements. I think that is really how I restored my mitochondria impairment, the inflammation from the concussion and the head injury. Supplements really made the biggest difference in the way I brought back my body, prevented sarcopenia. I was already at sarcopenia, but it improved my muscle mass, my brain quality, my memory, all of this. So can you talk, before we go to the next E, can we talk about a little bit about the supplements that you recommend?
Yeah, so I generally am of the school where I hope people can get what they need through their diet as much as they can. But realistically speaking, that is just not always possible. So I basically came up with a list of 7 brain-healthy supplements that I don't think are easily gotten through the diet, therefore I think very worthwhile to take. And a couple of them are really basic. That would include vitamin D3 and magnesium. Those are both critical to cellular function and very difficult to get through diet. So those are recommended. Then I have a couple of antioxidants, which are ubiquinol, that's a bioactive form of CoQ10, and PQQ, which is actually kind of a cousin to CoQ10, and they are both very, very strong antioxidants that, again, are difficult to get in the diet. And by the way, for any of your listeners that are taking statins, statins actually deplete the body of CoQ10. So that's a group that it's especially important in that group to make sure that they're taking either CoQ10 or ubiquinol. And then I round out my list of 7 with 3 more. Turmeric, which has a huge scientific body of wellness evidence. So, and most of us don't want to be eating that on a daily basis. So I think, you know, a whole food supplement is great. And then I have CBD oil, and that is hugely anti-inflammatory. So recommend that. And then finally, this one is funny. I recommend lithium. People tend to think of lithium as a treatment for bipolar disorder, and in very high dose it is. But it turns out in microdose lithium, you know, something like 5 milligrams a day or even a little bit less than that, is very brain healthy. So those are my list of 7. I realize it's kind of a bit much, but they are truly, truly helpful supplements that are virtually impossible to adequately get in the diet.
That's great. I recommend all those nutrients as well. So I'm so glad that you added that. Now, we only have a few minutes left, so I really want to finish the last 3. Exercise, domain, and social engagement.
I can go through those real quick. Let me get, and I'm very practical, so I want to give your listeners some take home. So for exercise, this is a great way to cheat exercise, get great exercise without actually making that much of an effort, and that is to take a sauna bath for 30 minutes every other day for anyone that has access to a sauna. Sauna bathing is the equivalent of moderate intensity exercise. It creates a great sweat, so you're sweating out a lot of toxins. And it's kind of, you know, I want everybody out and about walking and exercising, but realistically, this is a really great way to fill in some exercise for people that can't get out all the time. Then onto the domain or our environment, there are two really important things that people can do almost right away, and that is to clean their air and indoor air and to clean their water. So most of us spend most of our time indoor, whether it's at work or at home. So indoor pollution is a much bigger problem actually than outdoor pollution. So getting either a air filter with a really good HEPA filter, or my personal favorite, populating your space with large leaf plants, those actually clean the air naturally. So that's a recommendation. I also recommend that everybody filter their water. The municipal water supplies across the United States are polluted. So a really good either reverse osmosis filter, or they even have really good desktop filters. Those are my environmental recommendations. And then finally, social. Yes, you've got to have friends. So people got to get out there, volunteer, join a weekly card game. Just get out there and do. Isolation is not good for your brain.
Oh, such great information. I'm a big believer that indoor air has got to be clean, absolutely. And water, too. You know, I use an RO unit in my office. It's a great unit that you put on the table and you just plug it in, pour water in it. And for more information about that, you can go to drsuzanne.com/RO pitcher. It's a great way to clean your water and be able to do it in a very, it doesn't cost much, but also you don't have to put it under your sink. So it's a countertop reverse osmosis unit. So much great information,
yes,
Dr.
Thanks.
Freeman. Thank you. Where can we find more about your book and your work?
Well, you can either go to my website, which is www.theseedsplan.com. I put some almost daily information about what's new in brain health up on the website. There's a link to Amazon to get the book. The book is available on pretty much every vendor in every format, from hardcover to softcover to ebook. So Amazon can look under my name or under the name of the book or any of the other places. So yes, I hope people will read it and get very motivated about being proactive in their general and brain health.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Freeman. It's such a great book, The Seeds Plan. Again, theseedsplan.com. That's where you can get more information about the book, more information, and so much value. Everything that Dr. Freeman talks about is all about how to make your body healthier, your brain healthier, so that you don't have to deal with maybe something that has happened to your family, your loved ones, possibility of dementia, Alzheimer's. You don't have to suffer from it, and you can help your loved ones prevent this as well. Great information. Thanks so much, Dr. Freeman. So if you've listened today to the show and you've learned something new, gosh, please share this show with your friends and family. You can go to iTunes, give us some feedback, and we'd love any forms of reviews you can give as well. You can connect with me on Instagram or Facebook. If you need any guidance on wanting to dig deeper into your chronic health issues, I work with people all around the world on the phone and Skype consultations, FaceTime, and you can just go to my website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.